Now, the subject I'm going to preach about tonight is the subject of flattery. Now, if you look down in your Bibles at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we read, he's explaining when they came and they preached unto them, how they came and how they preached. And you look at verse number 5, it says, "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." So, you know, what is flattery? First of all, flattery is, it's not just a regular compliment. I think today there's a little bit of a problem with the definition of the word flattery. I think it might have changed over time a little bit, because I know that, like, flattery today doesn't seem that big of a deal. Doesn't seem like a big deal. You know, a lot of times people will say, "Oh, I'm flattered." And it's kind of a common expression. Or, you know, flattery, we just don't think of it as a big problem or a big deal. But I'm going to show you tonight from Scripture that actually it is a big deal. And it is a big problem to when you notice people using flattery, and that we ought to not be flattering ourselves. Flattering ourselves or flattering other people. But you'll be able to see this as we get to dig into Scripture a little bit more. But I want you to notice a few things in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, because he explains the things that they didn't come in. So, like, look back in verse number 1. It says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." It was not vanity. It was not meaningless. "But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." Now, all of these things that you see there in verse number 1, vain; verse number 3, deceit, uncleanness, guile, pleasing men. These are all things that you're going to find throughout every mention of the word flattery. You're going to see these things intermingled with the flattery. And I think it's really interesting that he lists off all of these things. We're going to go back. I have just about every single time the word flatter, flattered, flattery, flattereth is used in the Bible. We're going to go through almost every single one of those. The other ones, you can look them up for yourself. It's not going to be anything different than what we're going to preach tonight. But what's up with flattery, it's not just a regular compliment. So don't take this wrong. We're not just saying don't ever compliment somebody, because that's not what flattery is, right? Flattery is where you're really laying it on thick, right? And oftentimes what flattery is you're not even honest about it. You're being dishonest. You're trying to say something. You're trying to butter somebody up and really just coming up with whatever you can to just please their ears and make them think, you know, "Oh, wow, this is really nice what this person's saying about me." And that's more what flattery is. It's not just a regular compliment. Go ahead and compliment people. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't need to be just completely exalting people and just lifting them up super high and just throwing all kinds of whatever you could think of on them. You know, that's especially when it's not honest. And the person that flatters is really just setting up a trap. You don't have to turn there. In Proverbs 29, verse 5, the Bible says, "A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet." Now, this is the verse that actually I read that got me even to want to preach a sermon about this and actually want to study it out more and then preach a sermon, because maybe like many of you, I was thinking, like, flattery, like, what's the big deal? But here it's saying that a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. So saying, look, if you're flattering your neighbor, you're spreading a net for that person. You're trying to trap that person. I think this is a warning that God's giving us, that if someone's really just flattering you, that you need to watch out, because they're probably setting a trap for you. Now, we're going to look at a lot more verses here in the Bible. We're going to see exactly what the Bible teaches about flattery and the types of people that use flattery. So as we read these verses, again, you're going to notice that the type of person that uses flattery have the exact opposite attributes of what Paul had in 1 Thessalonians 2. And all those things that he mentioned that were as pointed out in verse 1 and verse 3, deceit, uncleanness, guile, vanity, those things all pop up as attributes of someone who uses flattery. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 5. Turn in Psalm chapter 5. And we're going to see people, look out for these words. These words are going to pop up over and over again. Vanity, deceit, uncleanness, and guile. If you're in Psalm chapter 5, we're going to see the first mention here that we're going to look at in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." Psalm 5:9. "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." So here it's saying in verse 9, you see that there's no faithfulness. It's describing these people. There's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness, and their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. These are all attributes of this person. Look at a few pages over, Psalm number 12. Psalm 12, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity." There's that word, vanity. "They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." So again, we're seeing this same repeat of, you know, these wicked men. They're vile, they're double-hearted, and they're vain. They speak vanity. They're using flattering lips. And I think that if you see someone here, and I think this is teaching when we see even more scripture references, when you see someone that uses a lot of flattery, it's going to be a red flag. It should be a red flag. That person is either a reprobate or just an extremely evil person. And I think when you see here, you know, it's not a mistake that at the end of Psalm 12, it's saying the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Right after it gets done talking about people who speak vanity, flattering lips, and they have a double heart. These people are wicked. They're vile. And that's one of the red flags that you can see is the flattering lips. And they're definitely evil. I mean, the Bible says that a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. They're not doing it because they care about you. They're not saying all these things because they love you. They're saying it because they're trying to get something from you, or they're trying to get you to go into sin, or they're trying to do some kind of evil towards you. Now, you're in the book of Psalms. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 36. We're kind of going to be progressing through the Bible here. There's a lot of verses in the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. Look at Psalm 36, verse number 1. Bible reads, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to be good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." Again, now here's someone, again, there's another reason why I think it's either a reprobate or someone who's just really evil person that uses flattery, because in verse 4 it says, "He deviseth mischief upon his bed." I mean, this is someone that just thinks about devising mischief. I mean, they can't be fulfilled, they can't sleep unless they think about something evil to do to someone. They're doing evil, and it's hard for the normal person to even comprehend this, because most normal people don't go to bed just thinking about, man, how am I going to get this person, or how can I do, you know, evil to that person? What am I going to do to devise this mischief? Most people don't think that way, but these people exist. And we need to be very aware of that, because they're going to be out to get you, especially if you're living a godly Christian life. Now, again, the whole purpose of this is to point this out, that look out for the people that flattereth, because sometimes it might be hard to understand at first or to recognize it at first. That you might think, oh, they're just being real nice. But that's not the case. I mean, the Bible's teaching us here, we need to look out for this, because they devise evil, and they're looking to spread a trap for you. Look at Psalm 78. And here we're going to see that the person who uses flattery is basically a liar. Psalm 78, look at verse number 34. The Bible reads, "When he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. So here these people are trying, they're trying to flatter God. But they have a deceitful heart. Their heart's not with them. They're lying unto God with their mouth, but their heart's far from them. And in Proverbs 26, go ahead and turn to Proverbs. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 20. But in Proverbs 26, 28, the Bible says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. So that's saying, you know, a person who's lying, their tongue hates those that are afflicted by the lie, the people who are affected by the lie, that hates that person. I mean, if you're lying about somebody, you don't love that person, you hate them. Otherwise, you wouldn't be lying about them. And then it says, a flattering mouth worketh ruin. And again, I mean, these are all the examples we're going to find in the Bible. We're not done yet, but these are all examples we're looking at that talk about flattery. It's not painting a very pretty picture. And again, I'm doing this to try to emphasize and try to warn, because there's a lot of people out there, I think it's often not found as a real big deal, and it's probably something that you can just put out of your mind and not think about so much, but it ought to be a red flag. That's something that's popping up that you need to be aware of. So I think I had to turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse number 19. It says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. The person that flatters is going to be a talebearer. They're going to be telling stories. They're not someone that can keep your secrets. Now, a person that flatters you, they're going to try to gain, what they're trying to do is gain your confidence. Right. What they're trying to do is get you to like them and to trust in them. So what they do is they just try to say as many nice things about you as they can to kind of get you to get your guard down and to relax and just open up around them, because they think, oh, wow, this person really likes me. And it's a common reaction. I mean, people generally want to be liked, right? I mean, you don't just go through life just wanting to be hated by everybody. It feels good. There's some, you know, something that's nice. There's a few exceptions to that rule maybe, but for the most part, people want to be liked. But, you know, it feels good when someone says something, when someone gives you a compliment, usually that makes you feel good. I mean, it makes you feel nice. And that's what I'm saying. You know, don't just stop giving compliments. Don't take this sermon the wrong way, because giving a compliment is just fine. But when people really just start laying it on, they're trying to do something. They're trying to gain your confidence. They're trying to win you over because they want to do something evil for you. And, you know, this might not be something that you have to deal with on a regular basis. I mean, it's not something that's always going to be a part of your life. Every single day you have people just flattering you all the time. I mean, at least in my case, I know it's not true, but, you know, maybe you guys are a little bit different, but it's definitely something that you need to be aware of. And, you know, one case I could think of in particular, though, we did have a family at one point that came to this church a long time ago, and it was interesting because they, you know, at this time, I wasn't as well-versed in the Bible, and I didn't know all the that this should be a red flag for us, but you know, they really just were laying on these compliments thick and were exalting the pastor and exalting other people just really, really high. Like, it was uncomfortable, the amount of compliments and stuff that they would give to people. And it turned out, you know, that these people were just in to cause division in the church, trying to split the church, lying about people, and saying all kinds of things that were just untrue. They were tale bearers, like as we just read in Proverbs 20. And the Bible just rings true in all of these all these examples that's given us, all these attributes of someone who uses flattery just completely came true with these people. And it was weird because, like, I didn't think anything of it. It was a little bit of a shock for me. But looking back on it now and looking back at all the signs, it's totally something that you could pick up on if you're aware of this, especially with the flattery, because people that use that flattery, you start thinking, you know, you start thinking they're your friend. Yep. And that they really like you, and they gain your confidence that way, and it's something you always need to be aware of. Keep your guard up about it. We see all of the bad attributes associated with the person that flatters with their tongue, and there's a couple other specific examples where you're probably most likely to encounter someone that uses flattery. The first one's a politician, right? And they're usually flattering themselves, okay? And it's true, though. I mean, and look around today. Is there any really righteous politicians out there? I mean, they're not. There's none. They don't exist. And they have their liars, right? They're saying whatever they want to get your votes and to stay in their position of power and you know, do whatever evil they want to do to people, devising mischief all night, writing up these laws, and enslaving us for the love of money. But other than the politicians, you know, there's the Bible also warns us a lot about the adulteress. And men need to be very, very, very wary of this. Right. Very wary of this. Look at, if you're in the book of Proverbs, right? Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Because there is a lot of references to flattery about the adulteress. And we're going to kind of blow through some of these scriptures, but Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 16, the Bible reads, "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead." Look at Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 23, the Bible reads, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Verse 24, "To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." Again, now, the adulteress here that we're reading about in Proverbs, this isn't just your average woman. I mean, it's not your average person. This is someone who's hunting for the precious life. This is someone who's out knowingly wanting to commit adultery and wanting to, usually trying to get someone who's righteous and who's trying to live right and who's married and is trying to do the right thing. They're trying to get that person and trying to bring them down, trying to get them to commit adultery. And what are they going to use? They're going to use flattery. "Oh, you look really nice today. Oh, wow," you know, and just give you all, lay on all these praises on you. And for men especially, I can't state this enough. It's going to be a weakness. And you need to be aware of this, because when it's coming from another man, you're probably not going to fall for the flattery as much. But when it's coming from a woman, I mean, you know, especially if you're a single guy, or even if you're not a single guy, I mean, even if you're a married guy, I mean, it doesn't matter. She's an adulterer. She's looking for the married men. Right. So actually, I mean, married men, you're not exempt from this at all. You're probably in more danger of this. She's going to try to gain your confidence by giving you compliments. Watch out for that. Don't let your heart be, you know, please, thinking like, "Oh, wow, this person really likes me a lot," and just kind of drawing you away from your wife. Be aware that this is one of the main tactics that the adulteress is going to use when she hunts for your life. Yeah. You're in Proverbs 6, look at chapter number 7. The Bible says, "Say unto wisdom," in verse number 4, Proverbs 7, 4, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." There's flattery again. Look, jump down to verse number 21. "With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life." And there again, in verse number 23, we see the reference that it's a snare. It's a trap, right? She's using this flattery to set a trap for this person. another place that we need to look out for flattery, for someone who's going to be using flattery against you, a real common place, is going to be a flattery of the preacher. Turn to Ezekiel chapter number 12. Because there's a lot of preachers today that are going to use flattery. And you're going to see in the context here what we mean by the way that the preachers are using flattery. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter number 12, we're going to start reading in verse number 21. Ezekiel chapter number 12 and verse 21, the Bible reads, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. So today's preachers that we hear that are using this flattering divination are the ones that are crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They're the ones that are going to tell you that, you know, everything's great. There is no sin. You know, hell's not that hot. They're going to tell you that everyone here is welcome. You know, don't change a thing in your life. God thinks you're great just the way you are. Those are the ones that are going to tickle your ears. They're going to make you think, oh, wow, yeah, everything I'm doing is great, man. I got my boost for the week. I'm here on Sunday morning. I come in. You know, the preacher's making me feel good. I'm doing everything that he says I need to be doing. I'm right with God because everything the preacher's telling me is just, yeah, man, love your neighbor, and that's what I'm doing, and I'm helping people out whenever I can, and everything is going good. But they're just flattering. They're just using flattering divination. They're not teaching you what you need to know. See, the flattering preacher doesn't love you. In fact, he hates you. He's setting up a trap for you. He's a liar. He's vain. He's deceitful. He's not telling you what you need to know. I mean, what we need to know is the truth from God's word. We need to know the whole truth. Ultimately, all that preacher cares about is your money. The only reason why he's not preaching about sin and not telling you what you need to hear and not saying, thus saith the Lord, and not teaching you what the Lord's actually saying and just teaching you maybe a part of what the Lord's actually saying is because he wants you to keep coming back. He doesn't want to offend anybody. He wants you to keep putting money in the offering plate for just his own filthy lucre's sake, just to keep making money. And, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's why these false preachers get up and they use their flattering divination. You got to watch out for that, too. I mean, when you come in and you're not hearing anything preached specific about sin, when you're not hearing anything, like, in the whole counsel of God, or you just keep on going to the same few verses every time, or maybe not even using the Bible at all, you know, that's a preacher that's going to be using flattering divination. You ought to be able to hear sometimes something that's going to improve you, something that you're doing wrong. Nobody's perfect, and everyone will recognize that too. Everyone recognizes, hey, I'm not perfect. Well, if you're not perfect, don't you want to be better? Yeah. Wouldn't you like to improve the things where you're not perfect on? Well, if you're never hearing about the things that you're not perfect on, how are you ever going to get better? Yet people want to just have their ears tickled and just think that they are perfect. If you're not hearing something that you're not perfect on, then you're in the wrong church. You need to be growing. And maybe you go to a good church and you're just a really great Christian, but then you need to get in a better church. I don't know. I mean, you got to read the Bible more because none of us is perfect. We all have areas where we need to grow. And the entire counsel of God ought to be taught. And there's another flattering divination today that we hear that teaches people not to worry about the second coming of Christ because we're all going to be out of here anyways. Yep. And that is just a total flattering divination. Look at verse number 27, Ezekiel, where he says, and son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. And that's what the pre-dribber is going to say today. You know what? That's going to happen later on down the road. We don't got to worry about it because we're going to be out of here. That vision's going to come, you know, way down the road. We don't have to worry about it. That's a lie. Amen. We need to be aware of the tribulation to come that people are going to go through because it is going to affect us. We're going to be going through that time, and you can't just put it off as saying, oh, that's going to come later on down the road. We don't have to worry about it. We're not going to be here. No, that's false. We need to learn about it. Now, we're going to turn to the last place where flattery is used in the book of Daniel, chapter 11. And this is, we're covering all the places on flattery. I left out three references in Job, and two of them were by I forgot, one of Job's friends, the young guy that held his peace until the end. And God said that nothing that those people said was true, so I wasn't going to include it in the use of flattery, but it still lined up with everything else that was pretty much that was being taught here. And, you know, it's not a very pretty picture. It's very serious. I mean, you see the lies, you see the deceit, you see the traps being set, the adulteress, right? All of these things that come by people who use flattery. And the last thing we see here in Daniel chapter 11, the Antichrist is also going to be using flattery. It says in verse number 20, it says, "Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." So this is someone, the Bible says he's vile. He's wicked. He's a vile person. And the people aren't going to just give him the honor of the kingdom. They're not just going to say, "Hey, be our king." It says, but he's going to come in peaceably. He's not going to come in and take it over by force. How is he going to obtain it? He's going to obtain the kingdom by flatteries. The people are going to love him. He's going to gain the hearts of the people through flatteries to where they will want to put him in charge and they will want to make him king and ruler. And if you look down in verse number, we're going to skip most of this for sake of time, but in verse number 30, it says, "For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant." So he's teaming up with people that hate God, that forsake the Holy Covenant. "And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries." We see here, I wanted to read those last verses because that's the last times that flatteries are even being used, been brought up. The Antichrist is using flatteries to set up a trap and to gain the kingdom. People use flattery to gain your confidence. They use flattery to try to seduce you and to commit adultery. They're going to use flattery just to set a trap and to steal your money. And they're going to use flattery to try to deceive you about what God says in the Bible. They're going to use flattery just to ruin your life that way. And, I believe that we need to be aware of this. Oh, wait, and the last plan, they're going to try to deceive you, try to use flattery is by winning your vote, right? So be aware of that, too. People will be using the politicians completely use flattery to win your vote. Be aware of the flatterer. You know, it may not be in your life very much. You know, I know it's, like I said, it's not a very common part of my life where people are just always flattering me and tell me how great I am. But, you know, if that does happen, because it might happen at some point in my life where there's some wicked woman or some adulteress that's just going to try to hunt for the pure life. And it could happen to you. And it could happen in many different ways. I mean, we know the Antichrist is going to use it. And the people that use flattery are not good people at all. They're evil people. They're wicked. So stay away from it. So let's bow our head and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly God, we thank you so much for the Bible. We thank you for all the warnings that you give us and all the telltale signs about the evil and wicked people that exist in this world. God, give us the discernment to be able to tell and distinguish between, someone who's just being nice and complimenting, but then someone who really goes overboard and is flattering, and it's kind of a pattern for them where they're continually just laying it on thick and really trying to butter people up so that we can use that and take heed to that and just keep that in our mind of what they're probably trying to do. They're probably trying to set a trap for us, and just help us to be aware of that. And to not forget that and just keep that piece of information. And it comes up quite a bit in the Bible, dear Lord, and I thank you so much for teaching us this truth that we know the wiles of the devil and what he's going to use to try to get to us and try to deceive us. And I pray that you would please just strengthen us all here and help us to be mindful of this truth. In Jesus' name.